Good morning, everyone. It's good to have all of you with us today as we've gathered together for this worship of praising God in song, remembering the Lord's death in communion, praying to the Father of our needs, and enjoying together our presence with each other as we join together in the fellowship of the work that God has given us. From Monday through Saturday, as I've begun every Sunday morning this month in this series called Sunday Matters, the world beats us up. And we are persuaded to believe that our lives ought to be consumed with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the vainglory of life. Going through a week like that takes its toll. And when we come together as we have today, we need to remind ourselves it is Sunday. It is not the weekend. It's not the day before work. It is the Lord's day. And sometimes we convince ourselves that Sundays ruin our vacations, get in the way of our fun, or even worse, are nothing more than some religious routine that Christians do, instead of we do this because of who we are. Sundays matter. And so this morning, as we finish this series, put into perspective what we've covered so far. And that is that Sundays matter because it is the day that Jesus was raised from the dead. Our Lord and our God and our Savior was raised because of our justification, Romans 4, in order to bring to us salvation, Romans chapter 6, so that to the world He would forever be known for who He truly is, the Son of God. Today is the day for memorial. Jesus instituted in the upper room the memorial feast that to every Christian should bring to their mind time and time again the significance of His death, the significance of His burial, so that we can look forward to the day when He will return and bring us to be with Him. No other day would be right, because today is the Lord's day, and every first day of the week should be the day of memorial. Sundays matter also because it is the day for worship. Not simply the gathering together of a bunch of people who like to hang out together, but bringing us together for prayers and for the apostles' teaching, to devote ourselves to those things so that God will be glorified in everything that we do, and especially in everything that we sing, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord, because the Lord said in the day that would be the Messiah's day, they will worship in spirit and in truth. Today matters because it is the day for worship. And Sundays matters because it is the day for fellowship. When Christians devoted themselves to fellowship, the fellowship of sharing and caring through their giving on the first day of the week to meet the needs of saints. It wasn't coffee and donuts. It was a partnership in the work that brought them together in the first place. It was their benevolent hearts and their hands partnering together in the work that God had given them to commission the church to do together their work. Sundays matter. Not because you put a check in the tray, but because we have a fellowship to which God has committed us. And today, it matters because it is a day of hope. Hope is the noblest response of the human spirit. It keeps people alive. And it's not really necessarily a word that we associate uniquely to Christianity. Alexander Pope, in his well-known essay on man, Hope, he says, "Hope springs eternal in the human heart." He said that about almost three centuries ago. Even Cicero in the first century of Rome says, "Where there is life, there is hope." But even Solomon said long, long ago in Ecclesiastes 9, verse 4, "Anyone who is among the living has hope." So by its very nature, hope is optimistic. It encourages us to work towards the goals of overcoming. And so I want to impress on all of us who lead in worship, impress on all of us who are shepherds, impress on all of us who are teaching the Word of God today. Today is a day for hope. It is a day for us to imagine and really practicalize the reality of what it is that we have placed our hope in. If you have placed your hope in our country, you will be disappointed. If you place your hope in our elected officials, you will be disappointed. And I dare say, if you place your hope in anyone who is a human being, you will be disappointed. But today is the day for hope. It is the day when we as Christians bring together in our perception of everything God has brought us together to do, that where there's life, there's hope. Because where there's hope, there's life. So what does the Bible tell us then about this hope? Sunday should remind us that the hope the Bible describes is a living hope. In 1 Peter, you know the passage, perhaps very familiar to you, in chapter 1 and verse 3. Peter begins, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to His great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." I want you to notice that Peter reminds the Christians as he begins this great and glorious letter to encourage them to endure the difficulties, endure the suffering, recognize that they should never be ashamed that they're called Christians. It is that God has brought us together to be born again together to a living hope. Not a living hope because of my great works, not a living hope because I'm with the right church, a living hope because of the resurrection of the Savior. That prospect of my hope is confirmed that God has secured it in me by the presence of what He has accomplished in the Spirit. Colossians 1 and verse 27. The ultimate reality is that our hope gives us confidence through the corridor of death. What that hope brings us is the realization that we will truly be translated to that kingdom of heavenly origins. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15. Transforming our body from its humble state into the condition that it will be forever like Christ in its eternal state. So notice in Titus chapter 2, listen to what Paul tells this young preacher. In Titus chapter 2, and he tells them in verse 11, God's grace has appeared. Verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Christ Jesus, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed, purify for Himself a people for His own possession, zealous for good deeds. And these things speak and exhort and reprove with all power. Let no one disregard you. Sundays need to remind us that we have a living hope. The question is, do you believe that you do? Sundays also matter because it should remind us that we have a purifying hope. Look in 1 John chapter 3. In 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse 2, John says, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure." This hope that you and I will be like Him, the living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we will be transformed into whatever it is that He is, that should purify us. Have you sinned this last week? Have you thought immoral thoughts about people of the opposite sex? Have you lusted in your heart? Lusted with your eye? Maybe even over things? Or touted yourself to be so great that you thought everyone needed to pay attention to you? The vainglory of life? The hope needs to purify us all. It is the anticipation of seeing and enjoying once again, not just Jesus Christ. The anticipation of this hope, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, which John describes as a purifying hope. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Beginning in verse 13. We do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. And for this we say to you by the Lord's word, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And listen, and there always will you be with the Lord. Doesn't that purify you? Does it bring to your vision with clarity the very things that ultimately matter? That when I die, I'm going to go be with Christ. When I die, I'm going to go be with my mom. When I die, I'm going to go be with my grandmother and my grandfather. That when I die, I'm going to go see Abraham. That when I die, I'm going to go see Noah. That when I die, I'm going to go see King David. That must purify your heart and compel in your living every day when the world is trying to beat you down to turn you away from morality and turn you to immorality, the hope that is yours. Let it purify you. This is the gain that Paul talks about in Philippians 1 and verse 21. But Sundays also should remind us that it is a reward, that this hope is a reward. Now, I don't want to in any way diminish the fact that we have been saved by grace through faith. I don't want to diminish in any form or fashion the reality that the very reason that we call upon God and have our sins forgiven is because of God's mercy. There is no provision within the gospel story that makes me ever believe that I'm finally glad God finally got around to me. Just like all of you, I fall on my knees every day to remind myself that I am unworthy of the provision of the gospel that He has given me. And the Apostle Paul is the one who knew it the most. Of all the apostles, he calls himself least. Of sinners, he calls himself chief. And he would not let anyone get by with the reality that they thought they could be right with God by their works. For by works will no man be justified. But he still says in 2 Timothy chapter 4. In 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 6 begins, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith, and in the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to who have loved his appearing. The great Apostle Paul, who speaks of grace and of mercy to almost the explosion of words that no other apostle ever does. to the one apostle who tells us more and more than anything else how it is we need to understand we are just before God by grace through faith, is the apostle who says to Timothy as he looks at the imminent reality of his death, and God will award me on that day. Because my hope is an award, a reward, for the fact that I fight the faith. I fight to be right. I fight, I struggle, I work this course, I keep my faith, I don't stop. And God promises you that if you'll do the same thing, your hope will be a reward. Quit giving up, because hope makes you live. But this hope is not just a reward, it is a redeeming hope. You know the passage in Romans chapter 8 and verse 23. The Apostle Paul says, not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see with perseverance, we wait eagerly for it. Sunday should remind us that it is a hope that redeems us. How many times have you sat through our announcements? Brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so in a surgery, sister so-and-so this, brother so-and-so. Does not your thought ever cross? And I'm going to say, I hate the devil. That he brought into the existence of our world, that God has so powerfully brought to us, the presence of our own sin, by tempting us and leading us away, and then the consequences of those sins are all around us. No, I'm not saying that when someone has cancer, it is because of their sin. No, I'm not saying when someone physically dies, it is because of a personal sin that God is now punishing them. But the reality of our sickness, the reality of all that suffers around us, is because we are sinners trapped in a world that sin has cursed. And every Sunday, I need to remind you, and you need to be reminded, that the hope that we have is redeeming. That God is going to transform our body. The redemption of our body. God is going to bring us back to where He wants us to be. And I'm going to ask you to want to be where He wants you to be. I'm going to ask you to want to be what He wants you to be. Because only will that truth ever make for you hope to be redeeming. And the last point is the day for our hope in this connection is Sundays should remind us that it is one hope. It's this point that sometimes I think we forget. Paul says in Ephesians 1 verse 18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, just as you also were called in one hope of your calling. Ephesians 1 18, Ephesians 4 4. Some people may tell us that the hope of the Bible, in the eschatological sense, is a renewed earth. Sometimes even we as Christians will say that the hope that we have is heaven. Sometimes people will describe hope in other aspects about the Christian life, that you know, you'll have a good life if you'll follow God. But Paul intentionally says in verse 4 of chapter 4 that there is one hope of your calling. And I don't know that I'm right, but I believe I am. My hope is in God. Whatever heaven will be, whatever anything will be in my life and in my future, my hope will forever be in God. Imagine what it was like for all those people in the Restoration Movement and in the Reformation Movement when they read the Bible and said, wait, this is not what we're doing. We need to change what we're doing. And all of those people suffered because they spoke out against the religious error that was all around them. Their only hope was in God. Their hope was not in the people that would listen to them. Their hope was not in the leaders who would try to transform and reform or restore a New Testament church. Their hope and our hope will forever be only in one, and that's God. And every Sunday we need to remind ourselves of that. The day for hope is God. So one last section of thought. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians, and then the lesson will be yours. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and for sake of context, we're going to begin in verse 16 of chapter 4. Listen to what Paul says. Therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day, for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as we, having put it on, shall not be found naked. For indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, in order that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. So he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, be always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. And we are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Therefore also we have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or whether bad. Listen to what Paul says in three powerful figures about what hope must mean. Is that he says we have a new dwelling place. Paul unveils the Christian's personal hope by talking about our body as being described like a tent. That like a tent, it is something that goes up, it is something that goes down, it is something that never absolutely gives you absolute security, and it is something that is forever needing to be replaced. And Paul says that internal in the heavens is a house that God has made for you. It is a powerful picture. No, I'm not telling you that it's a three-bedroom house with three-car garage. He's not using a physical picture for the purpose of making you think heaven is physical at all. But he's using the image to help you see that in our life we live in a tent. It expands and it shrinks. The casing of it gets crackly when you get old. And then the hair falls out. That was supposed to be, y'all just laughed there. That was my one courtesy joke today. But what God has for you, and something in which you must place your hope, is no longer will you have a rain-sodden, drippy tent, living a life cold in the darkness. But God will give you a new dwelling place. That's your hope. He goes on by describing it in another way by saying that no longer will we feel naked. Whoa. I didn't know I could hit the button that many times. We have new clothing. If indeed by putting it on this way, we won't be found naked. I don't know about you, but my favorite stories of my children is when one of them, who happens to be in the room at this time, ran naked through someone's house. He didn't know I was going to say that. Because the abandon of innocence was all over him. If he does it today, we'll have a serious talk. Because we who are ridden with sin don't really want to be naked in front of everybody. Maybe innately God wants us to feel vulnerable in that scenario. So the Apostle Paul captures that truth in the way you feel. And by revelation tells you that what God is going to give you is a new set of clothes. That's your hope. That God isn't going to leave you feeling insecure, feeling alone, feeling as if everyone's staring at you. You will not be naked. You'll have a new set of clothes. And then in Paul's analogy, the third application that he makes here is not just that you'll have a new dwelling place, not only will there be a new clothing, a new set of clothes, there's going to be a new home. Even Hallmark has captured upon this ideology, this is not a house, this is a home. And so Paul, climacting the truth that he wants us to see, is that God, in giving us this reality, is going to make us a home. Notice he says in verse 6, therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, but we are of good courage, verse 8, and prefer rather to be absent from the body so that we can be at home with the Lord. Home is the embrace of family. Home is the embrace of welcome. Home is the welcome of people who love you forever. And that is your hope. That God is your forever family. So when you die and will be raised again, the first face you will see is the only father, the only mother, the only family that will ever matter. God will be there to wrap his arms around you, to welcome you to the eternity to which he has prepared all who will trust in his Son. And that's why Paul would say in 2 Corinthians 5, therefore we will always be of good courage. Sundays matter because it's a day for hope. The song announced encourages you tonight or today to be reminded that it is the day that Jesus was raised. It is the day for memorial. It is the day for worship. It is the day for fellowship. It is the day for hope. And now it is the day for you to decide if that's what you want. Because God wants you, giving his own Son to die on the cross to make possible everyone's redemption, the forgiveness of our sins by the blood of the Savior, who himself said when he sent the apostles into the world to share that good news, says, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved." Mark 16:16. The same message Peter announced in Acts chapter 2 when those asked the question, when they were told that they had crucified the Lord of glory. They said, "What shall we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins." Sunday matters because you matter to God, who gave his own Son so that you could be with him forever. Why are you waiting? Won't you come as together we stand?